720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Not that cold today. Not that warm either. Maybe somewhere in the 20 degrees to 5 degree range, depending on where you are, whether you're in the sun or not. A nice sunny day here. Camille is in the booth, and I am back after a hiatus in the service of family vacations and road trips and trying to go out there, collect all the information I can, come back and share it with you, and got a chance to take a cruise for the first time. So we went on a sea cruise. Camille, I know when we had talked about it beforehand, you had mentioned you had gone on one and it just didn't work out well for you. It wasn't any problem with the Disney folks. They do a fine job.
Oh, I bet it was great.
We didn't do a Disney cruise. This was Carnival cruise, but it was a family related Carnival cruise. And so lots of activities. The Cat in the Hat is working for the Carnival people.
Wow.
And along with all of his henchmen, right? Or his, what would you call him? His,
sidekicks,
contemporaries,
maybe.
Yeah, right, because he's the main guy, right?
Yeah.
He's very big and has that tall hat, and I think that's the kind of proverbial crown of the Dr. Seuss empire. And, you know, but you had like the Thing One and Thing Two, and I don't know how many things there are. Is there just one and two?
I think it's one and two, but I'm glad they're employed,
right? Right, we've all
finally
seen the e-Hollywood exposés on when things don't go that way. But then, you know, lots of activities and, you know, lots of time, you know, on the boat and some food. And there's some things about cruises, I think, that are unique to that experience. And it's not necessarily for everybody, but there's so many people who enjoy it and love it. I think from a family perspective, there was a lot of pluses. We'll talk a little bit about some of those. And 312-981-7200, if you have your cruise experiences, some things you like, some things you could recommend that people either do or experience, we'll certainly share those with the listeners. If you have any nightmares like Camille did, where I guess the whole family got sick and was just sick the whole, were you guys sick the whole time?
See, I was four. I don't remember.
Oh, they just told you
were
sick?
I was told, yeah.
Maybe
I guess
that
my sister had a hard time.
Well, it's not, you know, if it's kind of splashy and there's, you know, if there's a storm and it's just, there's a lot going on, you know, with that whole movement. They don't necessarily have that in the brochures. But once you get used to it, it's okay. But then it lingers. You know, you hear about jet lag on the plane trips. And certainly I have traveled a lot, whether it's for work or for radio or for covering or for whatever on planes. And there is certainly something to be said for jet lag, and there's something along the lines of, you know, when you get off of a boat, it kind of continues, the whole sloshing thing kind of goes on for a couple days. So if anybody has any thoughts on that, things they want to share as far as their favorite cruise experiences and things to recommend to people, definitely give us a call, text it in 312-981-7200. You can share it with Camille. We will read your text as well. Now, when you're using that number, you can also do it for the bona fide ride of the show. So many great ones. Got to thank the listeners for participating on this. And it is the full range of cars. These are not all, you know, magical, amazing cars that are the fastest or the most expensive. People are sharing cars that mean a lot to them over the years, whether it was their first car, something average and ordinary or unattainable, or something that is very cool, you know, something that they would want as their dream car. It's your first car, your favorite car, or your dream car. And again, 312-981-7200. You can send it in. You can send it to Camille. She'll talk to you about it a little bit. We'll write it down. If you want to text it in, you want to send a picture, that always helps. It always is cool to check those out. And the winner, we put them all in a hat. We pull them out. And the winner will be the bona fide ride of the show, brought to you by Bona Beef. And you get a $25 gift card to Bona Beef. So that is great as well. For the show today, it's going to be another kind of eclectic blend of things. We're going to talk some road trips, some travel. We're going to kind of go into some of the things that we're doing for that contest we're building for the Ultimate Florida Family Road Trip. Camille is going to share her thoughts on some great restaurants that you can run into between here and Nashville. Martin's. I have a Martin's barbecue shirt on. It's love Pat Martin and all the work that he's doing down there. They've got a few locations down there in Nashville, but one of the best in the country. And so Camille's like she knew about it too. So we're gonna hear about that. As well as we've got some great guests. So Kevin is at a Sprint store with, I guess, improving at all times telephone reception. He's going to join us. We're going to talk with him a little bit about the favorite kind of sports destinations and road trips that people may have. Plus a little Cubs convention. That is a destination for Cubs fans from all over the place. We'll get his thoughts on that. Danny Rocket is going to join us. If you know Danny Rocket, the name of his band is Bad Teenage Mustache, and they do some of the most amazing Cubs parodies. If you like music and you like the Cubs and you like to laugh occasionally, you'll enjoy what it is that he's doing. So he's at Cubs convention. He's going to give us a little kind of insight into the flavor going on there, plus a show that is coming up later on tonight for Cubs fans and the music side. So I think we may have a couple tickets as well for that. Sunny Anderson from Food Network is going to talk about the Infladium. She's created the way that you can enjoy kind of your own snack stadium and have it done in a way that's easy, convenient, and cleanable. Scott Pruitt. Now, Camille, are you familiar with Scott Pruitt?
No.
Okay, if the name sounds familiar, he must be one of the secretaries in the Trump administration. This is not that Scott Pruitt. This is the guy that after almost 50 years is hanging up his driving shoes, driving gloves, his steering wheel as he gets in and ready for the Rolex 24 at Daytona, hoping to get and be the first one to win it 6 times. So he's going to join us there. He has raced in IndyCar, Trans Am, NASCAR. He has raced every single kind of thing, and he's also making some great wine. So look forward to talking to Scott a little bit later. And Michael Waltrip, before the end of the program, hope to have him call in from kind of a celebrity pro-am thing he is doing. He is golfing. Michael Waltrip, you know him. He is kind of the crown prince of fun and funny when it comes to racing. And of course, one of those lead voices for Fox NASCAR. So he'll join us. And we've got to call out to Wayne Messmer when it comes to voices, when it comes to Chicago sports, specifically the Cubs and the national anthem. Wayne is there. He is probably, if I know him and I do, on site at Cubs convention. So hopefully we'll talk to him before the end of the program as well. Again, to be the bona fide ride of the show, send in your first car, favorite car, dream car, that number 312-981-7200. When we come back, we're going to talk with Kevin Powell. He is at the Sprint store. So stay tuned for that. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN. Oh, 720 WGN, On the Road with Dane, live here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And a guy that's not on Michigan Avenue, although he often is, and he's out and about traveling the world of sports, providing us with all that information, whether it's the great deals at Sprint or whether it's the experience that people have at Cubs convention or even his own very favorite potential sports road trips. The one and only Kevin Powell is on the line. Kevin, welcome to your station.
Dana, how you doing?
I am doing okay. Now, I know that the throngs, the masses, I hope that they outfitted you with an adequate security detail to keep, you know, all the ladies off of you. And, of course, the Sprint fans at the store.
Yes, we have a great turnout here. It's on 53rd Street in Hyde Park. Giving out $50 gift cards to anybody who swings by. And you can learn about Sprint's unlimited plan. So, yeah, a lot of listeners have come by. I'm here till 3 o'clock. So it's been a great turnout. We appreciate everybody coming by.
Other than people asking how they can get in line for the It's Just Lunch situation that you have going on, what are some of the biggest sports questions? Because it's neat. It's one thing to be kind of that broadcaster and talking about sports. But when you kind of get that feedback from the people, it could be different.
I mean, you're talking about like what's going on in the sports world right now? Is that what you're asking me in this Chicagoland, or what do you mean?
No, the people at Sprint, they come up to a Kevin Powell. What are the questions that they have?
You know, we just talk. A lot of people are talking about the Bears, the hirings. We talk a lot of White Sox fans down in this area. So a lot of predictions of Cubs White Sox World Series down the road, which I think I'm on board with. So I think mostly I've been talking. Kind of what's current. A lot of Blackhawks fans, too. We had some Hawks fans that were out at the game last night that swung by. So good crew here. A little bit of everything.
I will say for the fans there, and this, you know, your street cred, obviously you're open and informative on all Chicago sports, but you're a White Sox fan, right? So you're safe there. But you do cover the fact that Cubs convention is going on. So for Cubs fans, a little bit about the flavor. Have you got a chance to check it out yet over there? I think it's at the Sheraton.
Yeah, it's funny. Everybody keeps bringing up Bryce Harper. It's like he's the storyline everywhere you go with Cub fans, whether it's on social media or convention. That was brought up this morning with Theo Epstein, and he kind of kidded about it. A kid asked Theo if he should get a Bryce Harper jersey, and Theo just said, ask Chris Bryant, because those two are good friends. So that's sort of kind of been the storyline, that and the new coaching staff for Joe Maddon. So, I'll be back out there right after this, and then we'll have coverage at WGNradio.com, so check it out.
Last thing, and I know you love to travel. You've gotten to do it kind of as part of the vocation, seeing some of the most amazing moments in recent sports history for Chicago. But for you, as a road trip, you know, either family road trip or just a Kevin Powell road trip, what are some great sports destinations you think families or people should get in their car and head to coming up this summer?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would just say check out ballparks, as many as you can see. I know everybody has favorites, and I think Wrigley is probably top of the list for everyone. But I just think experiencing different ballparks, I love it. I've been, you know, fortunate to travel with the Cubs quite a bit over the past few years and seeing different stadiums, and I love it. So I would just, you know, I would recommend a family road trip. Check out, go to Cleveland, go to Cincinnati, you know, in the Midwest. Just see as many ballparks as you can, because they all have their own set of uniqueness that I think every kind of sets them apart from all of them. So I would just say check out as many ballparks as you can. I love, the thing I love more than sitting at a ballpark on a beautiful summer day.
Well, there's only the thing that you love more than sitting at a ballpark on a summer day, but on a winter day, sitting at the Sprint store one last time for that location, people to get there, yes. You still have a couple $50 gift cards left.
Yeah, 53rd Street in Hyde Park. Swing by. I'm here till 3 o'clock. You can find out about how you can switch to Sprint or find out about their new unlimited plan. So hope you guys can come by. We're here till 3 o'clock.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Continued good work and safety, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right. So that's, you know, Kevin, he's down there in the service of Sprint trying to get people in on some of these great deals that are happening. He's been to the, you know, the Cubs convention saying that, hey, you get in your car, get a road trip, go out and see America's great ballparks. And this is a guy that has done that in a bunch of different ways. We have had him on talking road trips to the playoffs when people are looking to do it, and also road trips to, you know, let's say the Cubs convention, or road trips to your favorite concert to hear those amazing parodies that Bad Teenage Mustache is constantly putting out, the one and only Danny Rocket. Danny, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Now, this is, you know, as Cub fans try to bridge that gap between the end of a season that that thankfully is ending later and later these years, right, than maybe they had in decades past, and then before the start of the season or even the opportunity to kind of pilgrimage down to spring training, it's Cubs convention.
Oh, yeah. It started with a bang, that's for sure. It's been fun down there. I actually just got home from there because I'm throwing a big Cubs fan party at G-Man Tavern near Wrigley tonight. But I caught some of the forums, and I was at opening ceremonies last night, right in the first row. My friend Crawley saved me a seat, and he even got a pizza ordered to the first row. It's mayhem.
Did you have to buy like a ticket or pay some kind of entry fee for the Grubhub character or whoever dropped it off?
No, you know what I tell you. You know, I hate to, you know, spoil the Cubs you know, secret here, but you know, pretty much all you need to go to Cubs convention is a Cubs hat. I know a lot of people paid $120 plus fees. But, you know, they let the delivery guy in. If you look like you know where you're going with a pizza, they let you through.
All right. That is the views expressly of Danny Rocket, not necessarily the views of this station or the security force over there at Cubs convention. But here's one thing about it that is very unique is that you have it's kind of old home week, right? You see so many friends that you run into at the stadium or that you're sitting down with or that you enjoy, you know, the park with all season long. You'll run into those people that, you know, celebrities of a variety of note, whether it's some of the either current players that you can get in line and see or some of the other players that people know and love or personalities. I think we're going to have Wayne Mesmer on maybe a little bit later today as well. So for a Danny Rocket, you get there. Who do you like to run into? I know you have tons of friends there.
I do. A lot of the bloggers, you know, from Bleacher Nation, Brett Taylor, and Evan Altman, who writes for Cubs Insider, and my podcasting friends, Corey Finneran from IVNV. You know, we've developed really strong friendships over the years, and then they're the people that are at the games all the time, the season ticket holders that I see all the time. And there's too many to mention, but it's, you know, it's just great to see everybody, especially after, you know, the holidays are over and you're kind of like, okay, now what? Well, baseball season, that's what, you know, that's what you're waiting for. And it's nice to have this opportunity to kind of reconnect with everybody, see some of the players up there, you know, get to see the new dinner Kyle Schwarber live and in person from the first row there. And, you know, and he's looking good. You know, Ben Zobrist is sporting some odd clothes and a long beard.
What?
So, Yeah, no, his wife is dressing him, and she's quite the fashionista.
Yeah, she is. No, she's a great singer, too, right? We have to recognize that. But also, right, she's got kind of a flair for the dramatic on the dress side. See, that's all part of it, too. It's one thing to get in there and kind of commiserate with fellow Cub fans, see some of the merchandise, you know, kind of immerse yourself in Cub culture. But also, you are learning things, right? Because, you know, they'll have you get the addressing from from the Ricketts family. You get the coaching staff. You've got some new things. So what kind of things have you learned on the intel recon side about the Cubs, other than Kyle Schwarber's lost weight?
It's kind of more of the same at this point. You know, they're still doing the construction. The hotel's going to be open by should be open this season, and a bunch of new restaurants. It's kind of, it's going to be less of there'll be more choices. You know, there'll be like a Big Star taco place and a bakery. And there's more choices than just like the bar and grill kind of, chicken wings food now. And, it's more about how they, there's always three tenants with the Cubs. They want to be a good neighbor to the community. They want to bring more World Series titles to Chicago. And, they want to also improve, the overall relationship with the neighborhood.
You know, being
a good neighbor.
The three tenants of Danny Rocket, too. And when we come back we're going to come back from this break. We're going to send it to news. We've got a couple minutes there. When we come back, we're going to have you on, Danny, to talk about the three tenants of Danny Rocket, which are who provide kind of adjunct content and entertainment, right, to Cubs fans with the band Bad Teenage Mustache. And then you're going to fill us in on this big event that you have coming up a little bit later on today that is, great for everybody, but perfect for Cubs fans. So hold tight there. We're going to take a quick break. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, On the Road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. A great place to be if you're a fan, if you are visiting Chicago, if you're walking the streets, Michigan Avenue. But no place a lot of Cub fans would rather be than the Cubs convention. And on the line with us is Danny Rocket, just came from there and has got some cool stuff planned for Cubs fans and everyone coming up later tonight. Danny, welcome back to WGN.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, because we've mentioned some of the people that you run into that you love throughout the course of the season, but there's some great personalities of the Cub world that are a little maybe off center or eccentric as well. And I remember one of my favorite songs that you had written, and I saw and witnessed the inspiration firsthand, was the Crazy Hat Lady. Was she there in full force? You know, and to let the listeners know, she waited in line, and this happens, even with, and I got to imagine, and I'll ask you can comment on it for sure, but typically the Cubs convention was often a timed event, right, where people would vent about anything from concession prices to the sight lines to just old players or someone got traded years ago that they were disgruntled. And so she was in line, she spent a good amount of time complaining, then she sat down and I was behind her and she was asleep within moments after that. And you wrote a great song sung to the tune of Tom Jones's She's a Lady.
I've not seen her this year, which is really kind of sad to me. But I did see Ronnie Woo Woo, who is kind of her male counterpart in a way. But he's his own thing. Let's face it. But yeah. He asked the Ricketts family during the forum if they would bring back Ladies' Day.
When was that? Yeah, that was like in the 40s. No, I'm sure it was in the 70s. When did I don't know, and you don't have to know this. I know you're a historian, but you don't have to have all the answers. But I haven't heard of Ladies Day in a long time.
No, I don't believe they've had it in my lifetime since I've been going to the Cubs game. I could be wrong. I mean, I believe there maybe used to be maybe in the 80s they would have Ladies Day on Sunday or something like that. I don't remember. But no, he's very interested in having more women at Wrigley Field, apparently. So,
there's nothing wrong with that. And he's looking to, because this is, and you think about this, and for the listeners and fans familiar with Ronnie Woo, he's kind of the unofficial mascot of the Cubs. He comes dressed in uniform. He has made definitely a commitment. He has dedicated his life to the team, and he would like to see, just a few more ladies in the park, probably maybe in a meet and greet situation. Who knows?
I think that he would enjoy that. Laurel Ricketts called him Mr. Woo, which I particularly enjoyed.
Wouldn't it be technically Mr. Woo Woo? Maybe she's missing a woo.
Yeah, it sounded like she was missing a woo. But no, it's fun. You see kind of all the regular cast of characters, a lot of fun jerseys. So a guy with a Brizzo Brist jersey on.
Nice.
Put all three players together, like in that commercial, and you know, Gary Pressing is down there playing the Lowry organ, which is always nice to hear, especially when it's, what did you just say, it's going to go down to -4 tonight?
It's going to be cold. I didn't just say that. Bob Kessler has his hand on the pulse of the thermometers. Yeah, so it's going to be cold.
Yeah, so, but despite the cold, I'm throwing a big party tonight for Cubs fans, and it's free and everybody's invited. That's going to be up at G-Man Tavern. I don't know if you're familiar with that bar, but it's just north of Wrigley Field on Clark. And we're going to have like a white elephant gift exchange. We're going to do some raffles, and I'm going to play some music. Some of my parodies going to be rocking on guitar. And it's just going to be a pretty big fun party at 6 o'clock. And we'll be going all night. So if you're at Cubs Convention, and you want to come up after bingo or skip bingo, or you just want to come party with a bunch of Cubs fans, come on, hang out with us at G-Man.
So G-Man, I don't know if you have an address for it, but you say it's close to the park. People can, I'm sure, Google that. It's free to the public, so everybody can kind of get in there. Of course, you mentioned it's got a Cubs angle to it, but everybody can head out there, all sorts of fans, even if they're just fans of drinking and fun music.
Well, that's what it is. My podcast, The Sun Ranter Show, and the Ivy Envy podcast have teamed up on this. We're raising money for Club 400, which their motto is Cubs fans helping Cubs fans. And they've already raised like over $230,000, wow. I think, for Cubs fans in need. Stuart McVicker opens up his home in Lake in the Hills, which is a museum. He has an award-winning Cubs fan cave, and he opens up his home and throws huge events. That Ryan Sandberg came out there, and Tom Ricketts came out there, and Len Casper was just there, and Bill Buckner was just there. Like,
wow!
So he does a lot of great work, and he works very hard. And so we decided that we wanted to, throw this event, this party, to benefit him. So all the raffles, and we have some T-shirts for sale, things like that. And, maybe probably just have a bucket out, and anybody that wants to throw in 10, 20 bucks, just for being at the party, that's all going to go to Stuart and Club 400 so he can continue his great work. So.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's great. Charity takes on all shapes and forms, and so many Cub fans are also good, supportive, and charitable people. And this is, it's that time of year, right, where you're going to want to get out there. And this is a great opportunity to go ahead and do it. So if people want to follow you, they're going to be able to follow you up to the G-Man Tavern coming up later on tonight, 6 o'clock. It is free, and it is open to the public. And after that, for sure, because you mentioned you've got so many things going on. You've got the blog that you do. You've got the podcast. You've got the band. How can people keep up as best they can with Danny Rocket?
Well, I usually tweet out everything at Sun Ranto, which is like Ron Santo with the R and the S switched. But I'm on YouTube and all the usual places. But if you just Google me, you'll find me, Danny Rocket with 2 T's.
All right, Danny, thanks for being our impromptu correspondent for all the fun that's going on with the Cub fans this weekend, of course, Cub Convention, and a little bit of craziness as well. So thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Well, I hope to see you tonight, Dane. And if not, I hope to see you at a Cubs game this year for sure.
All right, well, we'll definitely make that happen. All right, thanks, Danny. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, so everybody wants to make like maybe a road. This is an easy road trip, right? Up to Wrigleyville. Go ahead and get out there, kind of extend your Cubs convention night for a little bit of fun. And I know, Camille, you and I were talking. I have a Martin's Barbecue shirt on. This would be like a tough road trip to make it. I don't know what time they're open. I know they have bands, but Nashville's too far to drive, probably. But I was surprised that you said that you had been to Martin's Barbecue.
I've been twice to each location.
On purpose, yeah. You had to like pull over. I've got to use the restroom. Like, or was this, did you make two separate pilgrimages, or you stopped one time and hit it twice?
So I want to say it was in high school. We were doing our like road trip down to Florida for spring break with my family, and my dad had heard of it. And Nashville's, it's a good stopping point for dinner because it's about 8 hours away from Chicago. And we went there, and it was awesome. And I was back in Nashville in September with some of my friends just for fun, and I was like, guys, we have to go here. And we went to their other location closer to downtown Nashville, and it's so good, and they have the coolest rooftop kind of thing, and like a band was playing, and it was It was awesome.
They've got this kind of open courtyard place that they've got in one of their new locations. And that place for people, if you want a recommendation, and I think they were up here for Windy City Smokeout. I know I've interviewed Pat Martin a number of different times and actually was introduced to him years ago by Josh Ozersky, who was a good friend of mine, passed away, used to be the food and drink writer for Esquire. And it is the kind of thing that that you can get to, Camille. I don't know. You knew it was great because you tried it and you loved it, but it is renowned, especially the pulled pork and, of course, the brisket and all those
things. The brisket. You got to get there before it runs out, because the first time I was there, they were out of brisket. But the second time they had it.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people, you wonder if they do that. Like the donut places used to do that. You only make so many donuts, and it's kind of, there's a cachet to telling people, hey, we're out, so that, it's that whole kind of, you got to get there early and there's only so many of them. It keeps people wanting more and all that kind of stuff. But Pat Martin and Martin's Barbecue down there in Nashville, definitely if it comes to like a road trip situation, get down there, get some and enjoy it. And if you can get down there and maybe get back for some of the games tomorrow, I know it'd be tough if you got a jet or a helicopter, maybe you could make that happen. But tomorrow, a little bit later on today, I know that Bob had mentioned some of the games, and tomorrow, and over at Party City, they've got this thing called the Infladium. We got a chance to talk to Sunny Anderson about the Infladium. She invented it. You know her as a Food Network personality and star of the Kitchen. We come back from this break, we're going to go into the Infladium a little bit. It is perfect for not only maybe this weekend, but also these other weekends of the playoffs, the Super Bowl, all that kind of stuff. So stay tuned, and one more time, we'll mention it. First car, favorite car, dream car, you can send it in 312-981-7200 to be the bona fide ride of the show. Quick break, we'll be right back. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, On the Road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio, Michigan Avenue. It is cold, but exciting. This is a great time if you're a sports fan. We mentioned Cubs convention, had a little bit of talk on that. But if you're an NFL fan, which has kind of become over the years, certainly America's pastime, lots of fans on the NFL side. And we're right in the middle of the playoffs. It's that time to get in there, do a little tailgating if you happen to be from those areas. And our signal gets out to a bunch of places around the country. But if you're here in the Chicago area, the greater Midwest, you're going to want to do some home gating. So, Camille, I know you're a food fan, and I think basically you're a sports fan in general. You enjoy that kind of situation.
Yeah. Go Eagles tonight.
Really? You're an Eagles fan? How did that happen?
I'm not an Eagles fan. Oh, okay. Well, no.
You got a big bet on it?
No. So a person I graduated high school with is their rookie kicker.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So go Eagles.
Wow. That is so cool.
LTHS.
Really?
Yep.
Man, Lyons Township. A big shout out to the academic center of not only the producer world. There are so many people doing some great things here. But there's so many people doing so many different things. And on the sports side, too, you've got that as well. I think that's really, really cool. So when it comes to like food for snacks, if you're going to cheer on your favorite team or your favorite, at least alumni from your school, what do you have? What do you like?
Ooh, well, I like that classic, just like, the chili cheese dip with the cream cheese and the cheese and the chili. I'm a big fan of the seven-layer taco dip, the classics. I'm having people over tonight, so maybe I got to whip up some stuff when I get back.
Those are the classics? Okay, the seven-layer dip. Yes, it is, right? That's a traditional thing from a long time ago. Okay. Buffalo chicken dip.
Oh, that's good. Not good for you, but good.
No. And then do you do any like hot wings or anything like that?
I'm not good at it. I do have a friend who makes really good wings.
Okay.
So I'm hoping he brings some tonight. We'll see.
I got to tell you, too, and this is the bone of beef that makes a good kind of game-based bread as well.
That's true.
You can go ahead and do it because you can make your own. You can make it how you want it, all those kind of things. We'll check those. We're going to read off some of our bona fide ride of the show a little bit later, maybe after 3 o'clock. And coming up, we've got Scott Pruitt from the 24 Hours of it's not the Le Mans, it's at Daytona coming up, and he is excited for that. I'm excited for it too. All those items you mentioned, and even some if you have in the refrigerator, some Martin's Barbecue, you can fit all of those items in your own snack stadium. And we got a chance to talk to and I love, she's one of my favorite people in the food world and on television. She's one of the most unique and authentic individuals, and she is not only a television personality but an inventor, and she has come up with the thing called the Infladium. And this is the kind of thing that if you love sports, if you love eating, and you want to keep it organized, maybe you got a little bit of, want something to kind of corral all of those snacks, you're going to need one of these Infladiums. You're going to need it, Sonny, right? You're going to need it.
Well, I don't know if you need it, but I hope that you want it, because you're right. Snack Stadium is something that just became super popular in the last maybe 3 or 4 years. And on The Kitchen and at Food Network, you know, Rachel Ray, The Today Show, I'd always, you know, do a segment where someone was coming in and building these gargantuan snack stadiums. You know, and a lot of them were put together with, like, cardboard, aluminum foil, you know, glue guns, staple guns, real simple things. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm lazy, and I don't know if I have the skill to, you know, bend cardboard to make it look like a stadium. Plus, once you build it and you use it, it's only one use, usually. So, you know, the thing I was going for is I know I want one, and I know I want to buy one, and I know I'm lazy, and I know I'm cheap, right? And so I thought to myself, how can I – no, trust me, Dane, trust me. There is nothing you need to know about me more than I am lazy. I think laziness creates things, right? So if I'm lazy – that means I don't want to get up and get dressed and go to the restaurant. I want food at home, you know, so that I cook, you know. And so because I'm lazy and I don't want to build a snack stadium, right. I drew one up and I thought, why can't we make it inflatable? So, you know, you can deflate it and store it. Right. You can wipe it off when it gets messy. You can reuse it. And so that's what I did. I sketched it out, and I went to my friends at Party City, who I was tailgating with at the time, on any given Sunday. And I said, hey, guys, I have this really good idea. I know we're drinking beers and eating hot dogs right now, but when we get back to business day, can I send you, you know, some legal paperwork so you don't tell anyone my idea? And can we think about this? And, you know, a year and some change later, my Inflatium is in stores at Party City locations everywhere. You fill it up with food. It looks like a football stadium. And to me, it's like the new way to buffet. So, you know, I hope people want one, especially if you're a football fan, you know, soccer moms and football moms, and for people like me that enjoy football, enjoy eating, but we don't want to sit in the garage on a Saturday staple gunning cardboard together.
It's like, it is genius. How many times you get a tailgate with the Party City folks and you say, hey, before we get into all these beers, here, sign this non-disclosure. And then, and then we realize we embrace our inner laziness, because laziness is the mother of invention, and you have proven
it.
You have proven that out. Oh my gosh. That is some awesome stuff. So Party City, people can go ahead and get it. Any idea on the price point? Is it more expensive if you have the Skybox version? How does it work?
No, it's $19.99. It's the only inflatable stadium on the market. It's only $19.99. It's over 3 feet wide. If you can imagine the size, you can also use it as a cooler. You can fit 3 cases of drinks, like beers and sodas, in there, along with ice. So it's a big, nice centerpiece for your coffee table or your table, or you can actually put it on your actual tailgate at your tailgate party. But it's a nice size for $19.99. And then there's these cool little inserts that hold all the food on the inside of it that come with it.
Yes.
As well as a recipe book that I wrote specific for it with game day food and how to fill up the Inflatium. And once you're done using those inserts for the first few times and you want to replace them if they get ratty, I have a refill kit for $5.99. So I want you to know, Dane, also, I'm glad you asked me the price, because it was a very big part of the meeting, trying to get the price down and make sure that, you know, someone like me would buy it. You know, like I tell you, I'm cheap, you know, and I'm lazy.
Well,
and so if I'm going to get up out of the store or pick up my phone to buy this at PartyCity.com, like, I want it to feel like something that I don't mind losing my money over.
See?
$20 is not bad.
Yeah, but see, those traits in you that you have embraced, are you're a people's champion, right? We want to pay as little as possible and get a great product.
Yeah.
People know and love you on Guy's Grocery Games, our mutual friend. You'll be in there judging on the oftentimes and all the time on The Kitchen. And that is, and before we let you go, a little bit about that. It's such a great cast. Obviously,
you
know, our great export from Chicago, Jeff Morrow, is a big part of our area here. But you guys have a little bit of something for everybody. It is a great cast. You guys are having a great time.
Thank you so much. You know, I call it Pick Your Pony TV. You know, if you don't like my silliness, you'll like Jeff's silliness. If you don't like my everyday food, you'll like GZ's trumped up specialty food, you know. If you don't like my, you know, really heavy laden food, Katie Lee will come through with something nice and healthy that's still decadent. You know, thank you for watching, and any of your listeners that watch, because we literally were just going to do that show for few months over the summer, and ratings came in so well. The response was so big. We're now number one or two on the weekends, depending on what's happening. And we're having a lot of fun. And let me tell you about your local guy, Jeff, there. I knew Jeff a while before we did this show together. And every time I'd run into him in the business, we'd have so much fun just yucking it up. I'd say to him, you know, I can't wait to work with you one day. One day we'll work with each other. And so the first season of The Kitchen, we were like maybe four or five episodes in. And we were just, you know, at the kitchen table, you know, getting ready to, you know, do an act, if you will. And right as we were about to go into the live portion, I turned to Jeff and I said, hey, man, I can't wait to work with you one day. And then we realized we're working together.
Oh,
so, you know, it's a pure joy to work with this guy. Chicago has no idea how hard he reps you guys, man.
Yeah.
Especially when we go into the pizza fight. But, you know, Jeff is the best, and we really enjoy doing The Kitchen. So it's so awesome that it actually is working, because you never know when you throw things up against the wall,
yeah,
especially in TV. And I come from radio, so it's the same thing. You never know when you crack that mic if someone's going to be listening. So Saturday mornings, 11 o'clock on Food Network, and the time changes for different areas of the country, but we're having a good time, and we'd love for you to join us.
Oh, thanks to Sunny Anderson, though, and of course we love what it is that she's doing on The Kitchen, and then all those different shows on Food Network, and bringing us the Infladium. That's genius. Now, Camille, have you ever had, you know, because there's so many times you see some things out there, you're like, oh, I thought about that, or that's a great idea, I wish I would have thought, or hey, that's so simple, why didn't someone else think of that? But do you have any of those that you want to share with the listeners?
Not off
the
top of my head.
Get your patent.
I do like those phone wallets. You know, you stick it on the back of your phone, and you can, like, put your debit card or some cash in there.
Yeah,
that's a good invention. You
know, it's kind of a good invention. I was thinking more along, like, the light bulb, scotch tape, you know, some...
electricity is pretty cool.
Okay, well, yeah. One thing we invented right here on this show was the bona fide ride of the show, and the opportunity for people to kind of chime in and share their first car, their favorite car, or their dream car. We've had a couple. We're going to run through those a little bit later on in the program as well, plus a couple right now. So we've got the Battle Bug, which is, and we had, like, the last time that we did the show, we had a VW thing. And for those people out there that remember it, it kind of has a military feel to it. It's a Volkswagen product. It's really cool. And it is one of those rare kind of sought after vehicles. And so congratulations. I think it was like Ted from Wheaton ended up winning that one. So we've got the Battle Bug here. This is, and there's a picture. So thank you from the 224. It looks like a 70s era Volkswagen Beetle, painted a drab kind of military green with the white star on it. Got some luggage racks, looks like have some gun turrets. And then we had this other one here. Let me pan down a little bit. This one, this is something I think a lot of people will love. So it's a Tucci professional drag race announcer for the Al, thank you, Al, from the 847 PDR, Professional Drag Race Association. This is Al's one owner 1970 SS Chevy Nova big block turbo 400. Wow, a lot of fans of the Chevelle, the Novas, and all that kind of stuff too. So stay tuned for that. You can send more in. We'll keep it till and keep it going till the end of the program. Camille will announce it before we leave here and give it over to the Beat. 312-981-7200. You can text it in with a picture. You can call in with Camille as well. When we come back from this break, we're going to send it to news. And then after that, Scott Pruitt, he is going to be talking about Rolex, his career, 24 hours at Daytona, and all sorts of things he is doing. So stay tuned for that. On the road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Scott Pruitt, driver at number 15 Lexus, prepping for the Rolex 24 for Daytona. And you're on the road with Dane, WGN.
WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And on the line with us is a guy who is looking to wrap up one of the great careers in motorsports that has taken him to IndyCar, NASCAR, Trans Am, IMSA, and closing in on a final Rolex 24 at Daytona International Speedway, where he's won five times. Excited to have the one and only Scott Pruitt. Scott, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane, how are you? Great to be here. And lot of excitement, and it's almost a little surreal at times, but big picture is just, you know, so looking forward to the race here in a couple weeks.
You still have that, you know, there's that build up for it, and it's the kind of thing you got to focus on. And I know, you know, I've seen some of the other interviews that you've done where you're looking forward to not maybe working out so much, certainly spending more time with family. You've got the winery. We'll talk about that. But is there, you know, at any moments, you still have a little bit of time leading up where you're kind of thinking to yourself, hey, you know, this is the last time, any kind of melancholy, kind of bittersweet things going on?
No, you know, it's, you know, the good Lord has blessed me with this incredible career, you know, moving into my 50th year of racing, of driving and racing. And so, you know, for me personally, I'm excited about my next chapter, and even more excited about the Rolex 24 here in a couple of weeks. Still working hard, want to finish big, want to finish strong, you know, just pushing, you know, been, you know, pushing hard at training over the past few months and gearing up for this last time, and, you know, not dropping the ball at all, just pushing for that, for this last event.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be big. You know, and you've had so much success in kind of all phases of racing, had some experience, competed at the highest level, but this is your jam, you know, the 24 Daytona, the Rolex, all that kind of stuff, 5 championships, going for the record here. Do you just get in there? You had so much success. It's not broken. Don't fix it. Just get in there, do what you do. You'll be successful. But does it kind of creep in that you could be making history there this year?
You know, more than anything else, it's going to be hard to, obviously in GT class, you can't go and win overall. I could go for, you know, just another victory at Daytona, which we certainly would love to have. And it would be more exciting giving Lexus their first win, and most appropriately would be at the Rolex 24. And it's been, I think the thing that's been overwhelming to me the most is how many people have really reached out to me, and the support and the enthusiasm, and you know, the fans have been just unbelievable. And I think that's been more overwhelming than anything else up to this point.
Well, you're one of those kind of, you know, great personalities of motorsport. You've touched a lot of people in a lot of the different, all those fans and in all those different series, for sure. Yeah, I remember first being introduced to you back, you know, in the NASCAR days and maybe the late 90s. And so it's the kind of thing where you have, is it kind of that thing? It's a little overwhelming, right? People don't necessarily reach out until there's a reason. But now when it looks as though you're wrapping up the career, does it give you any kind of, I know you said no, but any kind of thought? Maybe come back and do some things occasionally. People love what it is that you do.
More than anything else, I in such a wonderful, supportive way, the fans have reached out, you know, through Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all the other social media, as well as Racetrack. I mean, just since we made that announcement, we were testing at Daytona, prepping for the race. And all the fans down there are just coming up and shaking my hand and getting a picture with me and just telling me all these wonderful stories of, man, we remembered you in IndyCar, and we were at the Indy 500 for your first race when you were Rookie of the Year there. Or we remember seeing you win your first race at Pocono way back in 85. Or we remember, I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on in such a wonderful, way that it's, that's more than anything else. I mean, most certainly my peers and guys I've raced against and teammates and so on, I knew how they would feel and how they've been, you know, so great and gracious with all their words. However, with the fans, it's been very cool, and I'm just honored.
57 years young right now, and you mentioned 5 decades racing. You'll be able to stay connected to the sport. You've got, I think Laguna Seca is close to the winery, and so you'll be able to get in there and maybe do some stuff on the broadcast side. I know some exciting developments on the brand ambassador side. You'll be able to, so much success with Lexus, and now you're getting to be kind of one of those guys to kind of carry that torch for that brand as well.
And I've truly enjoyed working for Lexus over the years. Being involved with Toyota my last year in IndyCars, giving them their first pole at Fontana, and then moving in, we were running a prototype powered by Lexus starting in 2004, the year, you know, we won our first Grand Am championship, and a lot more championships there with them, as well as overall wins at Daytona. So I've had such an incredible relationship with Lexus and group and the dealer group and across the board and being able to go show off their cars and, you know, ride drives and dealer events and so on. And then the crossover now with Pruitt Vineyard and the culinary side that Lexus does has been a perfect fit. And when you look at what we've been able to achieve at the winery, being arguably, you know, by Wine Spectator, twice now being the highest rated Syrah in the world.
Wow.
And all that has come, you know, truly world-class wines. That's been a little unexpected and great, and especially since I'm the winemaker there.
Oh, man.
You know, I think across the board, and a few little broadcast things and these other things, I don't think I'm going to have a hard time finding things to do.
What would be great, and, you know, on the food side, covered the personalities of the food world for many, many years and broadcast live from Aspen Food & Wine. And, of course, they have a great relationship with Lexus, too. They provide all the cars that kind of drive all of the food stars around. And it would be great to see you out in Aspen this coming up June. You'll have time, right, because you're retired.
That's right. I'm transitioning. But I think you're going to see me at more and more of those events. I'll still be in and around the racetrack, whether with Lexus or with IMSA. You know, I've had so many wonderful years with IMSA, record 60 wins there. I think I've had, you know, I think the number is 88 professional wins between IMSA and Trans Am and IndyCar and IROC, all those great series. And more than anything else, it's been, you know, just such an incredible career looking back, and I've had so much fun to drive so many different things. And I think, as I share with my family and all the support that I've had from them growing up, while, you know, my dad's off racing or dad's off doing this, looking to spend a little more time with them as well.
Oh, we have got to at some point in the near future do like an interview just specifically on the wine side, because to have the success that you've had there and have it be, I don't want to say inadvertent, but a pleasant surprise, right? That's absolutely amazing. So was that the kind of thing that you'd always kind of wanted to do? There's a lot of people that maybe have a romantic attachment with a restaurant or starting something. Certainly where you live, it's a beautiful country. It's the thing to do is grow some grapes and make some wine. But was that something you always wanted to do?
No. I grew up on a ranch and was, you know, we had, you know, wheat and oats. And so I love working in the dirt. I love working with the soil. However, it's a lot more romantic doing it with wine, wine grapes. Not knowing that where we live had the opportunity to produce something as spectacular as it has. And but we did all the, you know, we did all the soil research. We did all the climate study with the best people we could find out of Napa. We're about an hour and 10, 15 minutes from downtown Napa. And they all came back and said, two thumbs up. This is a spectacular location. And so we did I did a lot of it, ripping and clearing and prepping and planting. And I just wanted to be able to make good wine, you know, something I could sit across the table from my friends and have a glass of wine and they wouldn't, you know, totally bust me up on it. So that was my goal. And then to do what we've done has been, you know, spectacular. I mean, the ratings that we continue to get year after year you know, again, Wine Spectator giving us, you know, in 2012, we were tied with the highest rated Syrah in the world with a winery in Australia. And then we did that in 2014. And so that has been such a wonderful, unexpected thing that has taken place. And I certainly enjoy it and embrace it.
Wow. And to be so hands-on with it as well. You know, it isn't just to be a fan of wine and then get in there with some people, you know, on the ground, slap a label on it and call it Pruitt Wine. To be involved in creating all of that stuff has got to be super, super gratifying. The one thing I wanted to ask you about, and you look back at the career, all of those great memories and memories with the fans, you look forward to the future and you're seeing some things. Racing is one of those things. There could be kids all over the place that see some of their heroes, you know, at the track or on television, think, I want to do that. It's just not that easy. It isn't, there's not a path. You can't go out for it in high school or school and those kind of things. You came up through karting and all of those things. You look at now the way that and even on the road course side for NASCAR, and of course raced in that series at its highest level for many years, it's just not easy to get the experience to do it. You've done it all. Now you look at the simulators and you see some of those drivers that a lot of their experience was based on the technology and the simulators. simulators and being able to kind of get that experience off the track for the road course. Have you done any of those? What's your thought on that in general, as far as drivers or people want to get in the sport, kind of getting some of the experience that they can get, you know, through the computer?
It truly is a great option and opportunity, without a doubt. And you touched on it. I mean, my parents, so supportive of me growing up, doing go-karts and then moving up from there. And then, you know, continuing on. And I think a lot of people, what they don't see in this sport, and I think it's probably more so in motorsports than others, is the fact that I've lived my life with basically 1 year at a time. For the most part, you have 1 year contracts, you know, kind of continuing 1 year contracts. So you're as good as your last contract that last season, you know. So if you were winning and putting up the numbers and doing what you need to do, then you continue on. And if not, you hadn't. So you had to do whatever you could to stay in shape and to be as sharp as you could and to learn as much as you could. And I've certainly embraced the simulator side. It's been using those for the last 10 years, just prepping and fine-tuning before races and so on. And that technology continues to get better and better all the time. And so what we're seeing is just these different things as drivers where you have to go out and embrace that. And I certainly see that with the younger drivers. They grow up with that technology. And I see it being, you know, potentially just a little more difficult, let's say, for the, I'm not going to say the old drivers, but most certainly the ones that didn't grow up with that. I've embraced it from the start, believe in it, support it, think it's a great thing. And you're seeing that on the new driver, the younger drivers, especially, I shouldn't call them new, but this great young talent that's coming up that have embraced that pretty much their whole life. And having that opportunity, that's the cheapest miles that you'll ever drive, right, a race car. And to learn about that has been great.
Yeah, and to be able to kind of focus and fine-tune on problems that you have, as opposed to, you know, driving the track actually. You could probably, you know, replicate certain curves and turns and or maybe tracks that aren't easy to get to. I mean, it's just one of those things. And you hit on it, too, as the technology gets better. I think it's just an incredible resource for maybe finding some of those next great drivers that are there. So you look back, you have the career, so much great stuff happening. I know that you're not going to be going anywhere. Obviously, you're going to be, you know, out there, out front for Lexus and then with the wine and all that kind of stuff. So, and even on the family side, and I read somewhere that you guys, this is crazy, I don't know where you find time to do it, but that you and your wife, you're doing some children's books, or you're actually, like, you know, helping out on that side, writing some of the, I guess, words to shape the lives of kids all over the place.
we have. That was what we were doing before the wine side, and my wife still dabbles in it, but we've written 4 children's books. The thing that we saw in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, was there were, even though the racing books that were out there, they weren't authentic. They didn't tell the right stories. They didn't tell the truth. So we've done 4 books, but really 3 books, because one was when I went from IndyCars to NASCAR. And so very much the same text, just all the characters changed. And so we've done 12 Little Race Cars, which is a countdown book, Rookie Racer, which was kind of an inspirational story, believe in your dreams, follow your heart and your dreams, and they all can come true. And then the last book that we have done is called Racing Through the Alphabet. So when we put all those together, we're self-published because we didn't want to lose any of the authenticity of what racing is. We wanted to control what the graphics and what the text looks like across the board, because it was so important for my wife and I, and she's the one who really spearheaded it, to keep everything as authentic as it absolutely could be. And that's been such a wonderful part of my history and what we've done, and one I'm really, truly proud of.
It's great stuff, and it's great that you're sharing so much of what it is that you do. You've always been one of those truly great personalities of motorsport, a great advocate and an ambassador for it. And I know for all those fans are going to miss you on the track. They're going to get some Scott Pruitt in a bunch of different ways, some in some glasses, some of the best wine in the world, and of course on the book side. And I know you're going to be out there a big part of a lot of the stuff happening off the track of the race as well. So if people want to keep up with you as best they can, all your adventures, find out what it is you're doing, visit you, get in on the wine side as well. Is there a website where people can go to?
There is. You can go to scottpruitt.com, very simple. You can go to pruittvineyard.com, Both have links to each other, and I got to give a shout out. You know, everybody's used to hi to my family at home.
Nice.
That memorable. This all started with my kids who thought I was inside the TV, and has gone far beyond any of my expectations as well. So it's been truly, you know, incredible, wonderful, spectacular career, and I am again. So you know, the good Lord's blessed me every step of the way. You know, in the sport, you can get truly hurt, and you know, everything we've done has been just absolutely so wonderful.
Well, bless you. Good luck with everything coming up at Daytona. As you say hi to the family at home, it's one last time for all of your fans to say, you know, one big collective hi and farewell to you as far as just wrapping up the career. But the future is so, so, so bright. People are excited for that, and I know and I can hear that you are as well. So, Scott, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for jumping on WGN today.
Absolutely. Love catching up with you, and whenever you want to talk about wine, love to chat about it. Thank you so much for having me on.
720 WGN on the road with Tane live here in the Allstate Showcase studio. And coming up a little bit after the news, we're going to hope to connect with Michael Waltrip. He is, and you know him as the younger brother of Darrell Waltrip. You know, he's a two-time Daytona 500 champion and one of the top figures on the broadcast side for Fox, and he's a funny guy too. So you Pat Tomasulo's got his own show. Michael Waltrip is really, you know, as much as he was, you know, a driver, a longtime driver, one of those fan favorite drivers, he's got a great sense of humor. So Camille, when you think about it, you know, you're familiar with Pat Tomasulo?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Because he's a sports guy. You know, you think of him as, of course, I know him. He was, I think we were both at Wingfest Chicago. I think he might have been one of the judges. Maybe he was the entertainment, the MC for that. So even though he's a sports guy, he's got a big funny side. It's nice to see him kind of flexing his funniness coming up with this new show. Are you going to watch it?
I am. I'm really excited that Chicago actually has like a late night format. That's pretty cool, in my opinion. I love late night TV, so.
Really?
Oh, all the talk show. In college, I got to give a shout out. I ran the on-campus late night talk show. BSU Tonight.
So it was a combination of maybe some, you know, entertainment acts, maybe music, maybe comedy, and then maybe just some public interest. Like you have guests that would sit next to you, you know, or next to whoever the host was, right at the desk, sort of like Letterman or Johnny Carson show.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I miss doing that. It was a good time. Shout out to all my BSU Tonighters in Muncie.
A lot of pressure. A lot of people are going to be watching Pat tonight, so good luck for that for him. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll send it to news, and then coming up after the news, Michael Waltrip, hopefully to connect with him on the golf course. So stay tuned for that. On the road with Dane here, 720 WGN. Wow! WGN live on the road with Dane here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. And on the line with us, we've got the two-time Daytona 500 champion, one of the world's favorite personalities of motorsports with 30 years in NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series, and one of the fans, of course, all-time favorite pitchmen and personalities of racing, bringing insight, information, fun, and always a little funny to the great broadcast of Fox NASCAR, the one and only Michael Waltrip. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. I appreciate being on. How's it going today?
It is going well. It's going better for you, right? We're up here in Chicago, 20 degrees, but weather's always an issue for us. You were out on the course today. You know, racing is an important part of your life. It doesn't define you. We've seen some of the social media pictures of you with Phil Mickelson and all that kind of stuff, but you do love golf.
Yeah, I do, and I'm having a bad day on the golf course is better than a good day at work, I've heard said before, but I don't know if I agree with that. Today, I'm playing in the Diamond Resorts Invitational down in Orlando, Florida, and I think there's 70-some celebrities. And I am currently, after day one of the three-day tournament, I'm dead last. I'm getting beat by Larry the Cable Guy.
No! Well, I mean, in true deference to Larry, I think he's, you know, he does these events a lot. So, yeah, I mean, he's got more talents than just on the cable TV side.
Well, he's my buddy. We played together the other day, and we're pretty close. I thought I was better than him. I just didn't have a good day today. But I've got the weekend. Hopefully, I can get something together and get a swing thought that I can use that will enable me to make some pars and some birdies instead of all these dumb other things I keep making.
Oh, you're going to be fine. I think this is one of those things. You know, we mentioned, you know, one of the fan favorite personalities in the worlds of racing, but through social media, and you're so active, prolific on it, sharing a lot of the activities, not only the things that you're doing now, letting fans kind of get an insight into the things that you do, you know, off and outside of the track, but also some of those great memories. I mentioned, you know, the picture of you, you know, with Phil Mickelson and some other golfing, and some of those great pictures of you fishing with Dale Earnhardt. Social media wise, has that been an easy transition for you? Has it been a natural outlet that you enjoy, or do you just do it because you know the fans enjoy it?
Well, I just try to bring a positive light to Twitter and to some of the places where people just seem to be angry and mad all the time, and so you'll never see anything negative from me. I don't feel like that's not what I use that media for. I like to show people that I'm, you know, having a good time here and there, and I like to share my opinions about NASCAR or golf or whatever it is. So I really appreciate that it's there for us to use, and I get most all of my news from those sources. And on Instagram, I do my best to be artsy. Like, I like to take cool pictures and put up stuff that I think people enjoy watching. So I kind of have I guess it's fair to say that I sort of have a love-hate relationship with Twitter, because I just hate negativity, you know, all the negativity. And I love seeing what my friends are doing. It gives me a way to keep up with them. So yeah. I'll just use it for what I like it, and I'll ignore all the other BS.
You know, it's interesting stuff, too. You've been described in so many different ways, predominantly positive, of course, but artsy. And to have you sharing that side, I think people appreciate you. Racing, again, does not define you on the author side, best-selling author in the blink of an eye. And then Dancing with the Stars. Okay, celebrity program, you're there with a lot of different celebrities, probably from all walks of notoriety, whether, you know, TV, movies, you know, sports and all that kind of stuff. I heard from, you know, Emmitt Smith one time that he mentioned that as great as he was, and we all, many listen, I'm sure, Mike, you know, he's one of the, you know, greatest running backs of all time, setting records, Dallas Cowboys. He said more people come up to him and recognize him for his time on Dancing with the Stars. When you're out there on the golf course, do people think of you as a racing legend, or do they think of you as a dancer?
It's mostly racing, but if you see an elderly lady have a big smile on her face because she's happy to see me, I usually know immediately that she's happy to see me because she watched me dance, and it's not because I raced in circles. So it really was interesting while I was doing it, and shortly after, going through the airport and just seeing the different folks that would recognize me, that had no idea who I was before I did Dancing with the Stars. So that was a fun experience, and I'm really thankful that I got to do it. And looking forward to seeing what's next. I've been real blessed to do some really cool things, and now, of course, I work with Fox on all those broadcasts, and that's as fun as you can hope for in your retirement years, to be able to hang out with Jeff Gordon and Darrell Waltrip and all the race car drivers, and be able to tell stories and have a little fun. Like you said, I think it's really important that people understand we're in the entertainment business,
yep.
And so giving information and sharing what technically is going on is very important, and I have the ability to do that for sure. But I think it's also important that we tell it in a way that's entertaining,
yep.
So people can smile and enjoy the broadcast while they're watching.
You see, you never lost track of that, and that's one of those things. And you've got all of that insight, the inside information, those relationships with all of those drivers and teams that you can impart to the viewers and the fans. But you always do encase it in kind of this coding of fun. And I think this, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this, you know, as we get into kind of this, you know, transformative year in NASCAR, we've got a number of personalities who've left, either retired or been retired or have other things going on. And a lot of new, I think, potential stars, at least everyone hopes, coming in. That's one of the things that is your gift, right? Is you're able to kind of bring a little bit of levity and introduce those drivers, do those segments that you do at the beginning of the races. Do you feel any extra pressure to kind of be that, you know, ambassador for some of these new drivers, kind of help them kind of put their best foot forward as they start this season?
Well, I'm really blessed that, you know, the veterans like Jimmy Johnson and Kevin Harvick, I raced with those guys. They, you know, we were competitors, and I knew them on that level. And when you talk about Eric Jones and some of the kids that have moved from the Truck Series to Xfinity and to Cup, well, I've been with them as a broadcaster through all that. So I've developed relationships with the young guys a lot like I did with the old guys. You know, we raced together, so we had something in common. And now me and the young guys have things in common because I've been reporting on them and telling their story to the fans since they showed up. And so being able to do that, I think it gives me a little bit of insight to who they are when they go racing on Sunday. And that's something that, because I've been with them in the Truck Series and covered them in Xfinity, it allows me to tell the story more as correctly as possible, because I know what their history is.
Some of the kind of fun, zany things that you do that I think only you could do in the way that you do them, how much planning is that? You know, because you've got, you know, Daryl's got a great sense of humor, DW, of course, Larry McReynolds, people may not know, he's a huge AC/DC fan, so he's got maybe a more of a rock and roll side than viewers are maybe privy to, but do you plan them out in advance, or you just spring this on everybody on race day?
Well, generally, it's a couple of texts on Sunday morning to say, okay, I want to come see you on the grid walk. Hope that's okay. And never one time has anyone said no. But I'm respectful. You know, I don't want them to think that I am given that time and don't appreciate it. But I like to give them a bit of a heads up. But you can't plan it, because you don't understand. I didn't understand, so I'm sure you don't. The moving parts and pieces that are the pre-race show. So we've got me scheduled for the grid walk at 12:25. Well, driver introductions were supposed to be at 12:10. We're running late. The drivers aren't here yet. Go find somebody. Do something.
Right.
So that's the direction you get in your ear. Your time's up. Here we go. Let's go. Do something. And I said, okay, well, here, no matter what I plan, it always seems to change. And that, to me, that keeps me excited and invigorated, and makes me I want it to be that messed up all the time, and just see how we're able to pull it out the other end. And somehow it feels like most of the time we do a pretty good job and people are entertained by it.
Yeah. Oh, it's in your element. I don't know if anyone could do it better, and you do it better than most. When you think about it, when they were going to move the Chicagoland Speedway race, and of course, we'll let people know we're talking with the NASCAR legend, Fox personality, Michael Waltrip. I was hoping, as they were going to bring it earlier, that might be part of the Fox season. But as you get a chance, you know, either as a driver, and sometimes maybe it's a lot more thought process, but a lot of these drivers, they do it because they love it. Obviously very talented and great at it, but they'd be doing it on their day off. When you get to visit these cities, what are some of the cities that you really enjoy going to, whether it's maybe an opportunity to do a little bit of golf at the same time, or maybe some fishing, or just the track itself? Where do you like to go?
I just enjoy the variety. I came to Chicago early last year and played golf for a couple of days, just because I had an opportunity to play with a couple of buddies that were in town, and we enjoyed that much. But going to Phoenix is probably up there high on my list because of golf, and I love going to Sonoma, having a couple glasses of wine. That's a beautiful, fun trip. And then when I go to Daytona, that's just where I feel like I belong. I love being at Daytona for the races, both in February. Even though we're not doing TV, I go in July just because I just love it. And so Daytona is a great town for racing, and it's my probably – racing is my favorite thing, so I'll put it pretty much high on the list. But it's obviously fun to go to some of the other great cities we visit during the course of the season, and being able just to sample cultures from all over our country.
One of the things that you do, and you see it on some of the social media, and you support, and I did want to take a second to mention this and highlight it, and for the celebrity programs, there's always a good cause that is supported, but you and DW have the Waltrip Brothers Championship charity thing that you guys do on a regular basis. I think it's been almost 20 years. If you want to give the listeners just a little background into that, how they can support it. I know it's usually in the fall, but it's something great that you guys build into what it is that you're doing.
Yeah, just all you have to do is go to WaltripBrothers.com. We have a Twitter page. We have a Facebook page as well, and also Instagram. But it's a chance for us to give back to the racing community. Motor Racing Outreach is the ministry that caters to all the drivers, the crews, the crew's family. When there's a time of need or if someone needs some support, they're always there for us and always have been there for us. So we like donating to the Motor Racing Outreach Ministry. They're great Christian folks, and they only want to try to help. That's all they want to do, so we want to help them back. and then service dogs for veterans. We're able to train dogs and give dogs to veterans who are in need of that as well. So those are just a couple of causes that are near and dear to our hearts, and we love the fact that we're able to raise so much money and just write a check. I mean, we just write them a check and either that or give them a trained dog that they're able to have as their partner. So that's a great, great honor for me and my brother to be able to be a part of. And we don't take it for granted. There's a lot of people that work really hard on the Waltrip Brothers Charity Championship. But the result at the end, nearly $500,000 just written out this year, wow. The same the year before, and just growing too. I'm really thankful for our endeavor.
It's one of the things that I think is, it's not, you know, necessarily completely unique to the racing community, but I, you know, I defy that there are other sports where I think everybody really gets together and supports great causes. So many of the drivers have causes that they support. And of course, you guys are doing it in a big way with the charity as well. So I want to let you get back to the course, doing what you're doing. For those people who want to keep up with you and all the positive and your artsy side on Instagram, how can they keep up with Michael Waltrip?
Well, Instagram's probably my favorite because there's no meanies on there. Everybody just seems to be nice and appreciates a good picture every now and then. And my call sign or whatever you call it is MWR, the letters MWR, and then the numbers 55, MWR55. That's me on Instagram, and on Twitter it's just MW55, and on Facebook it's Michael Waltrip. So if you want to follow along, don't be mad at me if you're in Chicago and you're freezing your butt off and I'm complaining about playing bad golf in Florida. I know that's probably a little bit hard for you to take this beautiful day, but I'm thankful that I got to hang out with you and talk to you, and I look forward to checking in again.
Well, we'll live vicariously through you, and we love what you're doing, and we know that we're not alone. So many fans do as well. So thanks, Michael. Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for jumping on WGN today.
You got it. I'll see you later.
See, there he is. 720 WGN on the road, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Larry McReynolds showing off his rock and roll side with his affinity for the great band AC/DC. So there are some surprises out there in the racing world. And I know what people think. They heard that commercial. I know Camille and I were thinking at the same time. So we've got coming up, we're putting the fine-tuning, those last touches on what is going to be the ultimate Florida family road trip contest that we'll be hopefully announcing in the next maybe week or so. We're getting some feedback from listeners on things to stock the house with. Just to give that overview, it is going to be a week in a luxury home in Florida from Global Resort Homes. So big thanks to them for supplying it. You can go to globalresorthomes.com and kind of look at the different homes that are available. They're all different, all unique, like a snowflake, different kind of decor, some more beachy, some more modern. You'll be able to pick the house that you want, providing it's available. Of course, there's, you know, some caveats in there, but for the most part, everyone's going to try to do what they can to allow that. So pick the house that you want and the week you want to do it, and be able to have that be your home base. And we say family road trip. It wouldn't be a family road trip, Camille, if it was just, you know, you and your wife, you know, or two people, or you and your husband, or just a couple people. You'll be able to take as many as 10 people along with you. So if you got 10 people in your family, grandma, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to take 10 people. You have to pull in some strangers or get that neighbor you just borrow power tools from and say, hey, what are you doing? So if you only got 6-7 people, that's fine too. But if you can, if you have 10, you can take as many as 10 people with. And I know you heard the commercial for that cowboy with cat spot cat litter, and you're thinking to yourself, and we had a couple of people text in like, hey, can we bring, you know, sometimes, you know, your pets are as big a part of the family, maybe even more so than some of your family members. And so Camille, would you want, do you have a cat? Do you have a pet or anything?
No, I'm allergic to like everything.
Oh, then you're
but
not.
But I want a dog so bad.
Because you heard cat spot litter, even though it's a dog, but you could train dogs to use cat litter.
And why
so
not?
We'll find out, and hopefully the cat spot folks will help outfit and stock the house. And so we've already got some great things, and on the road with Dane at gmail.com, and you can send attention Camille and things that you would like to have the house stocked with. So it's a luxury home. It's got all the bedrooms and bathrooms you need, probably 6 bedrooms, probably just as many bathrooms. It's got a luxury kitchen. It's got its own pool, and it's got its own you know, grill out there as well. So we're going to stock it with some steaks. We're going to stock it with bone of beef. We're going to stock it with G4 tequila. And some different, providing you want that. If this isn't something that you're interested in, some wine maybe from Cooper's Hawk as well. But your suggestions, on the road with Dane at Gmail. You can email in your suggestions. Just put attention Camille and then just say Florida road trip, things that you'd like to see in the house so that we can, you're going to be far from home. On this road trip, but you can take a little bit of Chicago along with, including Bona Beef. I mentioned that too. And for the bona fide ride of the show, you still have one more, I don't know, segment, maybe another commercial break left. You can 312-981-7200. You can add in your thoughts on that. And as far as your first car, favorite car, dream car, you can send it in. You can tell it to Camille. Or you can text it in. You can send a picture along with. We've had some really great ones come in as well, including I got Grand National. Here, one of the questions, too, is they had mentioned that they go to some of the races at Santa Fe and Rockford, and the crowds in some places are bigger than some of the crowds at some of the NASCAR races. And I know that they have been, you got to check into it, because it has become more and more affordable and fan-friendly and family-friendly. But I know, especially at Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Brickyard 400, they had switched the date from that because they just didn't get the crowds. I saw it as well, and you just didn't see enough people there. And so I think they've adjusted it, and they've got that. That's where they switched, you know, some of the dates, and now they've got that one leading into what will be the playoffs. So some different ways and some great ways to get involved. We're going to keep people up to speed with some of those best kind of road trip destinations on the NASCAR side. But there are some places that are, you know, completely sold out, and, you know, it's hard to get a ticket, especially Daytona 500, Bristol Night Race, and some of those. But there are some great values and opportunities to take the entire family out to the races and check them out. We'll keep you up to speed on all of those as well. So 312-981-7200, you can go ahead, give your first car, your favorite car, or your dream car. And when we pick that bona fide ride of the show, you'll win the $25 gift card from Bonus. So we are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to announce our winner. We're going to send it to news, send it to the beat. Those guys are locked and loaded and ready to go. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN On the Road with Dane, live here, Allstate Showcase Studio. I want to thank everybody that listened to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated, in particular, all the people that send in their first car, favorite car, dream car to be compete. You know, it's an easy competition. We just pull randomly the you know, bona fide ride of the show. And this week, Camille, what do we have?
We have the Battle Bug.
So this
from the 224.
Wow. Okay. So the lucky winner is the Battle Bug. So this is the second. We've got kind of a run here. Volkswagen products have won twice in a row. This one is completely different than the other one. It is a Volkswagen Beetle. They actually sent a picture as well. We'll probably put it up in congratulations on some of the social media feeds. But it's a Beetle with that looks like it's ready to take on, you know, all comers on the enemy side.
Oh, yeah. I'd feel very safe in that car.
All right. Okay, so follow me on Dane Tonomo on Twitter. And Camille, do you have a Twitter feed? You do, as far as some of your... Because you do a lot of food adventures.
Yeah, @ Hey Camille here. Camille with two L's.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, we'll see you next week. And stay tuned for the guys from the beat.